What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
John Cena officially wrestled his final match in WWE. John Cena's career as a professional wrestler is officially over. The way it ended, I did not agree with it. But quite frankly, it's far more difficult for me than I could ever imagine. It finally ended. 14-year-old me right now, I cannot imagine how he would feel about this situation, but I always knew that we would not have John Cena forever as far as being in the ring goes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ringside Chaos. This is the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. And I'm still trying to gather my thoughts. I'm still trying to deal with what's going on. Because the fact of the matter is, I was 9 years old the first time I watched John Cena work a match. That match with Kurt Angle in 2002, it's still in my head. I remember it very, very well. I watched John Cena's first match on the main roster on SmackDown, and I watched his final match at Saturday night's main event against the ring general, Gunther. Now, I want to make it perfectly clear. I do not disagree with the loss. John Cena losing to put Gunther over is not an issue with me. I think the way it ended with John Cena tapping out, that's where I don't agree with it. Like, I don't want to sit here and whine and moan and complain, although it sounds like I'm already doing that. I want to be more positive about the situation, but a lot of wrestling fans are angry. And I mean angry. Because, you know, a lot of them are saying the same thing. The man that for so long told us to never give up. What happens in his final match? How does he lose? He gave up. Now, we all know that's just how the match was planned. Look, again, I do not mind John Cena losing. I mean, now, Kurt Angle losing, I mean, I had a different opinion about it, but at the time, I was not a podcaster, but I still had, you know, an opinion on it. Kurt Angle losing his retirement match, I mean, it kind of reminds me of that, but, you know, at that point, I didn't agree with it because I thought that Baron Corbin was already buried and I didn't know how he was going to work his way out of it. And speaking of Baron Corbin, I mean, there's a moment with John Cena that I'm probably going to mention, but again, I just can't basically grasp the particular situation on how it ended with John Cena. Now, well, Shayna Baszler on Twitter actually said something about it. I'm trying to pull it up here on my phone. I have to apologize. My computer is so bad that if my computer overheats, it's going to shut down on me, and I'm really getting sick and tired of that. I need a computer really, really bad, and, well, that kind of seems to be a serious problem right now. But Shayna Baszler did post something on Twitter about it, and I did see it, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of other people saw it. I'm trying to see if I can pull it up, but, again, you know, I it's just that, you know, seeing John Cena go the way he did, I never would have expected like that. I didn't even think Gunther would be his final opponent. I mean, if it were up to me, John Cena's final opponent probably would have been Randy Orton. Now, if If Adam Copeland were still in WWE today, I probably would have said, yeah, why not Edge? Because Edge and Randy Orton are two of John Cena's greatest rivalries, and we'll talk about that. Here we go. So Shayna Baszler said on Twitter, and I quote, "What if I told you that tapping out is not always, quote, giving up?" I'm not sure exactly what to say about it. I mean, Shayna Baszler is, you know, obviously, you know, bring up a point. I mean, obviously, some people responded, and I think, you know, she re-quoted, so, I'm not sure exactly, you know, what to make of the situation, but, Again, I don't have the issue with Gunther beating John Cena. I just think, like, it should have just gone different, but I don't know. So, I want to get that out of the way because I'm already just dumbfounded and enough, and I'm just having a hard time dealing with the situation. But the main reason I'm having such a hard time is because I literally, and I mean literally, spent more than half my life rooting for John Cena. I watched him for the first time when I was 9 years old. I watched him for the final time in the ring at 32 years old. Man, 23 years. 23 years. Unbelievable. I saw John Cena debut on the main roster in that match against Kurt Angle. I watched him wrestle his final match at Saturday night's main event against Gunther. I was there at the start, and I was there at the end. Man. And I was thinking about, you know, 13, 14-year-old me, especially, and 12-year-old me. I mean, watching John Cena at the peak, and man, even 11. So, watching John Cena at the peak from 2004 through 2007, wow. And those were just the best times for me in wrestling, especially when I was a kid. And there's somebody I got to talk about on this episode. One of my friends from middle school and high school, who, like me, is a devoted and passionate fan of professional wrestling. He's been like that his entire life. And in middle school, I mean, he and I were big John Cena fans. And, well, his name is Memo. Memo. And Memo, he was a far more educated wrestling fan than I was at the time. I credit Memo for educating me a lot in professional wrestling. And Memo, at the time, was able to come up with good suggestions for how things would go. You know, Memo's ideas were so good that Memo would make a great addition to the writing team. But I would say today, it's not worth it because I do not want to see a great person, a good friend like Memo, have his idea stolen and him not getting the credit for it. Memo, if you're listening to this, brother, it's been a very long time. God bless you. Hope all is well. You were a very, very good friend for me in middle school and high school, and you know what? You still are. You know what? And Memo, if you want to come on the show, you're more than welcome to. Just send me a DM, and I'm going to make it happen. So this is for you, buddy. Shout out to you. But now I'm thinking of 14-year-old me and 14-year-old Memo. I just can't imagine how our 14-year-old selves would react to this, but at the same time, we'd understand that John Cena was going to retire eventually. But I don't know. It's difficult for me at 32 years old to just see John Cena just finally retire. Because, I mean, again, I knew it would happen eventually, but I just never knew it would be so difficult. I just thought, okay, he has his last match, he goes away. I mean, okay, when we're all happy. It didn't turn out like that. And a lot of things I'm saying might not make sense. But now Memo, I'm sure, posted his reactions to the situation. I mean, I'm not going to pull it up because I don't want my computer overheating. But, well, it's just so tough. I mean, a lot of people I knew at the time that were wrestling fans, I mean, I think a lot of us who literally grew up watching John Cena from being a kid through, you know, watching John Cena as a kid, as a teenager, you know, early adulthood through our 20s, and now we're in our 30s and he's retired now. Wow. Unbelievable. So, thank you, John Cena. Thank you, Cena. You know, hashtag thank you, Cena. You know, and the movies and everything. I mean, John Cena, his role in The Marine. To be honest with you, I'm not going to lie. The Marine with John Cena is one of my favorite films. You know, 12 Rounds with John Cena was good as well. But looking at everything John Cena did for us, you know, and a lot of the memories I remember, I mean, they served me well. I mean, again, John Cena's first match with Kurt Angle. I mean, the promo before the match and John Cena, you know, with that little thing with The Undertaker, I believe, after that match when Undertaker told John Cena good job and shook his hand. I mean, Undertaker even said the same thing, you know, in the tweet about John Cena's final match. He said it again, good job. So, you know, and people seem to forget when John Cena, when he started the Doctor of Thuganomics gimmick, he was a heel at first. So if I remember correctly, John Cena turned heel, I believe it was in late 2003. And then he turned heel, of course, this year. And you know, I have not been watching much wrestling as of late. I mean, I never did an episode about NXT Survivor Series War Games, so I have to apologize for that. But I just can't say it enough. I mean, I've watched John Cena from the beginning to the end on the main roster. I mean, I have to remind myself, he once had a gimmick called the Prototype. So, man. So everyone asks me, the first question is, what is my favorite John Cena match? To be honest with you, it kind of seems like it's a very difficult question, but there's a lot of John Cena matches that I absolutely love. But the one that I'm gonna choose this specific one because I was there. That was against CM Punk, February of 2013 on Monday Night Raw. John Cena had recently won the Royal Rumble, and of course CM Punk was feuding with The Rock, and you know, CM Punk being the top massive heel he was at the time, you know, John Cena challenged that. Well, CM Punk, I think, honestly, well, it kind of seems like John Cena made the challenge, because I remember the promo, how John Cena said, you know, I'm not going to give you a golden ticket, but I'll let you earn one. And he says, if you beat me, you take my spot against The Rock. And CM Punk basically said, you just made the stupidest decision in your life. Yeah, I remember it very well. But CM Punk versus John Cena in February of 2013 was a classic. The chemistry, of course, CM Punk and John Cena have always had great chemistry. CM Punk is one of John Cena's biggest rivals, and of course, we're going to talk about John Cena's biggest rivals, but the match between John Cena and CM Punk, I mean, especially the end, John Cena with that brilliant Hurricanrana, and the way it ended was incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I was there. I was there. Now, in person, I have watched 3 John Cena matches, and the winning record is, it's under 500, because the first time I watched John Cena in person was at the Saturday Night's Main Event in 2006, when he challenged Edge to the title. The second time was at Hell in a Cell in 2010, where he lost to Wade Barrett and had to join the Nexus. So the other time was against CM Punk, and John Cena won. I'm trying to remember if there was another time that I went to Raw, but I do not remember. I don't think so. So the WWE shows that I've been to was Saturday Night's Main Event in 2006, Hell in a Cell in 2010, Monday Night Raw in 2011, and in 2012, and in 2013, and that was it. Don't remember John Cena's match in Raw in 2011 as well as in 2012. I don't remember if John Cena worked a match on that Raw. I mean, I'm sure he did. He was still on top, so I'm sure he did. I just don't remember who it was against. But I've seen John Cena every time I was at a Raw. I did see John Cena. That's the point I'm trying to make. But as far as him wrestling, as off the top of my head, I remember I watched him wrestle 3 times. He lost twice and he won once. But you know what? Bottom line is, I was grateful to be there. So that's my favorite match. My favorite John Cena match was against CM Punk, February of 2013. But there's a lot of other matches that stand out, folks. The one against CM Punk in 2011 at Money in the Bank, Daniel Bryan in 2013, against AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble in 2017. Of course, the recent one with AJ Styles, I believe that was in Australia. And we saw what both guys did. I talked about it right here on this program. So the matches against CM Punk, AJ Styles, and Daniel Bryan really stand out the most. So, and that match against Daniel Bryan and John Cena at SummerSlam of 2013. I mean, I loved the match so much. And I watched it, and I was so mad at what happened after that when Triple H turned heel and turned on Bryan, and then Randy Orton cashed in on Bryan. But, you know, it was part of the story. It was just the start of the storyline, and CM Punk beat Triple H, became champion that night in that triple threat match. Unfortunately, Daniel Bryan suffered a serious neck injury that derailed his derailed that main event run. But you know what? I appreciate Daniel Bryan as well. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, that's just the brutality of professional wrestling. You know, injuries happen. So, but, you know, looking at, you know, also from other matches as well, I mean, well, you see, like, aside from that match, my second favorite John Cena match was the I Quit match against Randy Orton in 2009. And then another one that comes to mind, John Cena versus Edge, Unforgiven in 2006 at the TLC, which was in Toronto. So credit to Edge for putting John Cena over, and that was in Edge's hometown. So John Cena versus The Rock, WrestleMania 28. Man. The match against Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam this year, oh my God, that was cool. I mean, I had to go back and watch it, but that was cool. Man, I'll never forget that match against Shawn Michaels in April of 2007 on Monday Night Raw. Oh my God, of course, that match against, at WrestleMania 23, John Cena and Shawn Michaels. And John Cena versus the late Umaga, the Royal Rumble in 2007, the Last Man Standing match. Man. That's got to be the best Last Man Standing match I have ever seen. And rest in peace, Umaga. You are missed. Man. It's just so many. You know, I'm looking at these sources to remind me, like, yeah, I remember this one. I mean, I mentioned John Cena versus AJ Styles, but obviously, according to Bleacher Report, I mean, their number one John Cena match is my favorite, and that's the one from Raw in February of 2013. So John Cena has had a lot of his fair share of great matches. You know, from another source I'll mention, well, John Cena versus Batista, SummerSlam of 2008. Well, I haven't watched that match recently, and mentions John Cena versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 23. John Cena versus Edge, the Last Man Standing match at Backlash of 2009. Man. Ugh. Of course, I wasn't happy with that ending. John Cena versus Triple H versus Randy Orton, Backlash of 2006. Man. Remember the John Cena match versus Triple H at WrestleMania 22 when John Cena was being heavily booed? Yeah, I remember that. Oh, you know what? Here's another match from Monday Night Raw. John Cena versus Cesaro in July of 2015. Oh my God. That was one of the best matches ever. I mean, Cesaro really, man, pushed John Cena to his limit. I mean, at that point, everybody was saying it on social media. I mean, we were talking about it amongst us wrestling fans. It was all over on social media. We were saying, push Cesaro. Even legends like Mick Foley, I'm sure Stone Cold Steve Austin, a lot of legends were basically at the point like, you have to push Cesaro. And then we all know how that turned out. I mean, Cesaro, and I've said it before, Cesaro has got to be the most underrated professional wrestler that I have ever seen. And I'm sure I've said the same thing about other wrestlers as well. But Cesaro, in my opinion, has to be the most underrated professional wrestler I have ever seen. It's a shame he never got a main event run in WWE. You know, some sources say it's because of the promos. I'm like, you know what? Cesaro talked well on the mic. You can't hold the fact that he has a heavy Swiss accent. You can't hold that against him. So, but you know what? Cesaro is a phenomenal athlete. WWE should have done better with him. Could have done better. Should have done better. So, you know what? Speaking of a memorable John Cena match, remember that match against Rob Van Dam, ECW One Night Stand in 2006 for the title? That was Rob Van Dam cashing in. I mean, John Cena was being so hated by that ECW crowd. I mean, they were flipping him off. I mean, a lot to him. I mean, I think, didn't he like throw his shirt into the crowd and then they threw it back at him? I mean, that happened to Cody in AEW, didn't it? But didn't John Cena, before his match against Rob Van Dam, he threw his shirt into the crowd and then it was thrown back at him? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, I believe it happened, but I mean, that match is so rememberable. It's so well remembered. But from here, I mean, I'll never forget he was part of probably the best Survivor Series match I had ever seen personally, which was Team Cena versus Team Authority. But, you know, John Cena versus CM Punk once again in SummerSlam of 2011. Man, that was for the unification. We'll never forget John Cena versus Kevin Owens on Raw, and when John Cena put Kevin Owens over. Man, that was a great one of the best matches ever. And, you know, unfortunately after that, I mean, Kevin Owens, you know, I think lost to John Cena twice, even once tapping out, which I thought was really, really bad. I mean, they had a match, you know, at the Elimination Chamber of 2015. They also had a match at Money in the Bank. Man, I mean, Kevin Owens' first match on the main roster was beating John Cena. So John Cena put Kevin Owens over, and that was great. But after that, I mean, well, Vince decided, nope, Kevin Owens is not going to beat him again. So all the matches just continue. I mean, ding it through here. I mean, all, you know, speaking of another great I Quit match, the match between John Cena and JBL in the I Quit match at Judgment Day of 2005, oh, that was good. You know, John Cena's actually undefeated in an I Quit match. His first one, I believe, was with JBL. I don't remember who his second one was against. So it was the second one against Randy Orton. I mean, I know that that John Cena had an I Quit match with JBL, Randy Orton, Batista, The Miz, and I forget who else, but, you know, John Cena, his I Quit match against The Miz, well, you know, according to one source from earlier, that's actually considered one of his worst. I mean, The Miz is one of John Cena's best rivals, but unfortunately, I mean, just kind of skip ahead. I mean, John Cena versus The Miz at WrestleMania 27, that was not a good one. Not a good one at all. And it's not that John Cena didn't win, but I feel like the match just didn't go so well. But from here, you know, I think that match, John Cena versus Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins at the Royal Rumble in 2015, man, that was fun. Oh, so many of them. So now we kind of went through his best matches and the ones I remember well. I mean, once again, my favorite match of John Cena was against CM Punk in 2013 on Monday Night Raw. I mean, I was there. So when we talk about the best, we definitely got to mention a little bit of the worst. But this is all against, according to the Sportster. So, well, let's look at the worst one that they have. Well, the worst John Cena match, according to the Sportster, was against Michael Cole on Raw in 2012. Yeah, I remember that very well, yeah. Yeah, it was very, very comedic. You know, and number two, they have John Cena versus John Laurinaitis at Over the Limit in 2012, which was definitely an absolute stinker. Number three, John Cena versus Jesus Armageddon of 2004. I remember that very well. That was actually when John Cena was feuding with Carlito. And I guess Carlito, well, I don't know if that match was originally supposed to be against Carlito, but now keep in mind, I think at the time, Carlito had actually suffered an injury. Now, CM Punk had recently regained the U.S. title from Carlito, so that's why I'm not sure if the match was supposed to take place at Armageddon or not. But I remember Carlito had suffered an injury and could not wrestle, although he still appeared on WWE programming. But that match against Jesus, I mean, it was a one-sided match. I mean, John Cena just beat the crap out of him. I mean, Jesus, the wrestler, did have one shot, and that was it. I can't call it a squash match because the match wasn't short enough to be considered a squash match. But then they have John Cena versus Kane as the fourth worst. That's from the Royal Rumble of 2012. When the fifth one is John Cena versus The Miz at Over the Limit in 2011. That's the I Quit match. I mean, the match itself, I don't think was bad at all. I mean, it could have been better, but John Cena versus The Miz in that I Quit match. I'm curious as to why they have it like that. I mean, I mean, Dave Meltzer gave it a 2.5 stars, but you know, they mentioned John Cena and The Miz have had some pretty terrible matches throughout the various chapters of their feud, and the one at Over the Limit was an example of that. So basically for 20 minutes, The Miz, you know, and Alex Riley, who was, you know, had the alliance with The Miz, basically it was a 2-on-1, so, and they were beating him down in a, quote, boring manner, according to the Sportster. So, and then John Cena, of course, being the hero babyface, makes his comeback and wins the match. So, but according to the Sportster, the spots were, quote, very poor, the fans were zoned out, and it was yet another case of John Cena overcoming the odds when fans were sick and tired of the trope. Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, the I Quit match itself, I don't think was that bad, but Number six, they have John Cena and David Otunga versus Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. That's at Bragging Rights of 2010. Yeah, that was pretty bad. John Cena versus Rusev, Battleground 2017 in that flag match. Yeah, you know, that match actually, I'll never forget. I think shortly after that match, there was WWE got a little bit of heat. Because, you know, it was a flag match, but it was not the same flag match we saw at SummerSlam of 2014 when Rusev beat Jack Swagger, and that match legitimately pissed me off. It really did. Rusev beating Swagger like that, and then, yeah. I'm not going to get into details why, but it was that flag match from Battleground 2017 was kind of different. And if you see the match, you'll see how different it is. And I'm like, that's not how a flag match usually goes. In my opinion, a flag match goes to where basically it's one guy representing one country and the other representing the other. It's basically how it went at SummerSlam of 2014. That's a flag match. So the winner of the match, the flag gets displayed and the national anthem of that country gets played. I mean, that's how a flag match goes. But that's not how it went at Battleground of 2017. But going back to the heat that I briefly mentioned, and again, I know that I saw an article, but WWE got heat because apparently some people felt that the American flag was desecrated because I think at one point the American flag was thrown on the ground or it was just literally laying on the ground like it was garbage. So a lot of people actually felt that the American flag was desecrated. I would understand why they felt like that, but I really didn't see it that way. But maybe I never noticed it, but... Yeah, but you know, but honestly, I think that 2017 was really not a good year for a quote flag match. I feel like a flag match would have definitely been something from the 1980s when you have, you know, the American guy go against the Russian guy, you know, the American hero versus the Russian villain. But so, but yeah, I mean, basically, as the Sportster explains, I mean, they say, quote, for some reason, WWE decided to host a babyface versus a foreign heel best fit for the 1980s on a pay-per-view in the year 2017. So, yeah. Yeah. The match really wasn't good, and it's sad, too, because, no, this was actually John Cena's second feud with Rusev. I mean, it was first for the U.S. title, and, you know, a lot of people were not happy about that. I mean, people blame that when Rusev lost at WrestleMania... At WrestleMania 31, I mean, a lot of people say that's what led to the burial of Rusev. I mean, John Cena has been accused of burying many wrestlers. I mean, of course, the whole Bray Wyatt thing at WrestleMania 30. But I mean, I don't want to get too negative because I'm already talking about John Cena's, you know, bad matches. But you know, check this out. According to the Sportster, their eighth worst match was John Cena versus Baron Corbin, SummerSlam of 2017. Yeah, so, you know, talking about burying, I mean, yeah, some people thought that was the start of the burial of the lone wolf, Baron Corbin. Man. Yeah, I mean, when Baron Corbin, you know, and this was actually shortly after Baron Corbin attempted a cash-in and failed because, you know, John Cena, I think, caused a distraction, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, as the Sportster says, yeah, I mean, this match totally buried the lone wolf. I mean, I really believe Baron Corbin should have beaten John Cena in 2017 at SummerSlam. Do I still feel that Bray Wyatt beating John Cena at WrestleMania? At the time, I did not feel it this way, but now that I'm more educated as a wrestling fan, I do think that Bray Wyatt beating John Cena at WrestleMania 30 would have been the right call. That would have been the way to go. So yeah, Bray Wyatt should have gone over at WrestleMania 30. Baron Corbin should have gone over against John Cena at SummerSlam of 2017. So as they explain here on the site, the Sportster, and I hope I'm saying it correctly, yeah, the Sportster, they say, and I quote, this match was a complete burial of Baron Corbin. In the most house show structure ever seen, Corbin got a little bit of offense before Cena powered up as a babyface, hit all his big moves, postured to the crowd, and beat him with absolute ease. So basically, it's as if Baron Corbin, they made Baron Corbin look weak. So it's almost as if Baron Corbin got squashed. So, you know, just, yeah, basically. So Baron Corbin, you know, jobbing to John Cena like that was definitely a bad move. I mean, 2017, I mean, we thought that at WrestleMania that Baron Corbin would actually be on the main show against Dean Ambrose, who, of course, is Jon Moxley, I mean, we were all convinced that Baron Corbin would become the Intercontinental Champion at WrestleMania that year, but that didn't happen. He did work at WrestleMania, but he was not on the main card, which was at least I don't think it was it on the main card. It was not the opening match. Well, actually, no, it was not the opening match. No, the opening match at WrestleMania 33 was Jericho versus Owens for the U.S. title. At least I believe, yeah. So yeah, if I remember correctly, Ambrose versus Corbin was not on the main show, which was not on the main WrestleMania card, which is a shame. Yeah, and then it's obvious Corbin was being punished. He really was. And it mentions, yeah, why Baron Corbin lost his Money in the Bank cash in. Explained. Ugh. I mean, I don't want to just sit there and be in quiet, but man, it's bad. It really was, but you know, it's explainable. It doesn't get straight to the point. So, man, so it was August 1st of 2017 when I think there was the attempted to get cash in. So, but. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. So, I don't know why Baron Corbin. I mean, you know, they're saying that there are multiple reasons why. But you know, it's not getting straight to the point. But apparently, it says here that Baron Corbin was punished for undisclosed reasons. Man, it's sad too because you know he pretty much got squashed by John Cena in that match, and then there was a failed cash in, and then that. So, yeah. So it says there are possible reasons, but we don't know. So, and then apparently one thing here, it says that Baron Corbin was, quote, not seen as a main event guy. But it says, additionally, Corbin had been rubbing up people the wrong way with some of his Twitter antics, which he would have even speak out against a military veteran, something he would have to apologize for. Okay. I mean, Baron Corbin, yeah, I saw the stuff that he was tweeting. I mean, he was being Baron Corbin. He was being the heel that he was. So. Now, as a heel, again, Baron Corbin was being Baron Corbin. He was doing his job. He was trying to get heat. He was a massive heel. Baron Corbin was able to be a heel turned up to 20, maybe even more. Baron Corbin was doing his job. But I don't recall him, he spoke out against a military veteran and he had to apologize for it. So, I mean, again, I don't know. I don't even know about this particular thing until I saw it right here, but yeah. But from what I understand, I mean, yeah, Baron Corbin. I mean, after what happened in 2017, I mean, it just went completely downhill. I mean, he was buried and he never got out of it. I mean, 2018 he became the constable. He became Constable Corbin, and yeah, I mean, it was bad. I mean, Baron Corbin. I mean, WWE just dropped the ball with him. But again, I mean, I don't recall. I mean, I do remember seeing some of the tweets, but I mean, they did put the U.S. title on Baron Corbin. But, you know, and his reign lasted like, what was it, like 70 days or something like that? But from what I understand, I mean, according to sources, I mean, he was punished. But again, I mean, I feel like it just shouldn't have happened. But the final two matches that are considered the worst, according to the Sportster, was John Cena versus The Miz at the Bash in 2009, and John Cena versus Big Show at Extreme Rules that year as well. So, yeah, but you know, again, you know, I got caught up in the whole Baron Corbin thing, so I have to apologize for that. But I think, I mean, and I don't want to be upset about it, and I'm sure Baron Corbin, you know, Tom Peacestock, I kind of feel like he would say, Alex, I appreciate your support, but, you know, move on. You know, it was what it was, so, yeah. But when the whole lone wolf character was buried, I mean, see, now that, I mean, the way I look at it now, I mean, I'm just shaking my head. I'm like, yeah, but as far as Baron Corbin about a tweet, I mean, I wasn't aware of it until now, but now I am curious about it, but the whole thing about the veteran, so. But again, I mean, Baron Corbin was just being a heel, so yeah. I mean, 8 years ago, yeah, Reddit has something like that, so. Oh, so in August, so. Hmm. So So Corbyn apparently insulted an American military member on Twitter. I mean, okay, I mean, me as somebody that is a strong supporter of the United States military, I mean, yeah, I will say respect the servicemen that are active. I mean, respect the veterans. But, you know, if you're a bad guy, if you're portraying a bad guy, especially like Baron Corbyn, okay, do something, but just don't go way too far. I mean, so again, I mean, I'm trying to, I wonder if they're actually going to show what Baron Corbyn said. But, but everybody's insisting that Baron Corbyn was punished because of a tweet. So, man. You know, and this source is not showing what Baron Corbyn said. You know what? We don't even need to see what Baron Corbyn supposedly said. So, man. So yeah, it doesn't show from here. But you know what? Again, I mean, I'm sure there's probably a lot as to what happened, about what caused his push to be, what caused Baron Corbyn's push to be killed. But I don't know. I really, honestly, don't know. So I guess now at this point, we talk about John Cena's best rival as well. I mean, there's definitely a huge list for that. There really is a huge list for that. Well, CM Punk comes to mind. Edge. Kurt Angle. Man. Shawn Michaels. Triple H. Oh, boy. JBL. The Miz. A lot of big rivals, you know, come to mind. But when we talk about specifically the top rivals, I mean, is Bray Wyatt considered one of John Cena's top rivals? Well, Bray Wyatt, well, according to Bleacher Report, Bray Wyatt is his 10th best rival. Number one has obviously got to be considered CM Punk, right? I mean, some people say it's not CM Punk, but yeah, you know, they have CM Punk. I mean, John Cena's greatest rival is CM Punk. I mean, I honestly believe, to be honest, I think John Cena's biggest rival is probably Edge. But I would definitely say it's definitely debatable, Edge or CM Punk. Some would say, you know, some would probably would say, nah, it's Randy Orton or Brock Lesnar. I didn't even mention that. But Bleacher Report has Edge as John Cena's second best rival. At number three, they have The Rock. I didn't mention that earlier. Of course, The Rock. Number four, Randy Orton. Brock Lesnar at number five. AJ Styles at number six. Batista at number seven. Of course, there was the I Quit match. Kurt Angle at number eight. Shawn Michaels number nine. And of course, as I said already, Bray Wyatt at number 10. So that's Bleacher Report. So I'm curious to know what the Sportster has to say. But they have Bray Wyatt at number 13 and at the last. They have Umaga at number 12. You know, speaking of burial, I mean, John Cena giving Umaga his first loss You know, JBL at number 11. I mean, JBL helped John Cena become a star. I mean, a lot of wrestlers did. Kurt Angle as well. So, but, you know, JBL versus John Cena. I mean, I even mentioned that match at WrestleMania 21. That was actually a good match. It was actually a good one. I mean, that's where John Cena became champion for the first time. So, I mean, he and JBL had some pretty brutal matches, so. But, you know, I'll never forget, you know, I think that rivalry with JBL is underrated. And one of the moments was when they had that debate. It was on SmackDown when John Cena basically damaged JBL's limousine. Like, yeah, not only did he damage the limousine, John Cena took JBL's hat, poured water on it, and then put it back on JBL's head and basically did that. He took JBL's tie and cut it with a pair of scissors and then, like, sprayed the back of his shirt and the front of his shirt. I mean, yeah, I remember that. I remember that very well. It was funny. But John Cena versus Kurt Angle, I mean, we saw that also in 2005. I mean, that's before John Cena started his program with Edge. Although the first rivalry with Edge was briefly, because we'll never forget when John Cena won the Elimination Chamber at New Year's Resolution? But you remember, you all know the pay-per-view, the Elimination Chamber. That's when Edge started the whole Mr. Ultimate Opportunist, when Edge would cash in. Yeah, so basically the very, very first cash-in we ever saw. Yeah, I mean, especially the way they did, you know, Edge, you know, cashing in on a wrestler that's beaten down. So that was how it started. And then 3 weeks later, Edge dropped the belt to John Cena. And I think Edge said it in an interview because fans apparently, I mean, ratings did not go up or something like that. I mean, I think that's what he said. So they had, so apparently they Edge dropped the belt, had a rematch the following night, and this was, he dropped the belt at the Royal Rumble of 2006. He tapped out, and that was not very good for Edge. And then Edge started a program with Mick Foley, but Edge would, they would eventually reignite the rivalry in 2006, and then it went through 2007. So at first the rivalry was brief, and then I guess things changed and things did get better. They were able to have a long rivalry between Edge and John Cena. So at first it didn't seem to work, but I would have said it definitely would, but you know, eventually it did. So yeah. So, you know, look, I kind of got lost about JBL. So at number 10, they had Kurt Angle. Well, the best match between John Cena and Kurt Angle, in my opinion, well, I mean, there were several good ones. You know, I remember when Daivari was Kurt Angle's manager at the time. I mean, that was a good rivalry between Kurt Angle and John Cena, and having Daivari in the mix as well. I mean, Daivari at the time was only 20, 21 years old, but Daivari was able to do well. You know, and when Daivari was managing Kurt Angle, I mean, I think that's when we started seeing him speak English. I mean, when he was managing Muhammad Hassan, Daivari was basically on the mic, screaming on the mic, but he was speaking in Persian. But, you know, but I always, based on what I'm trying to say is I really liked Daivari's work as Muhammad Hassan's manager and Kurt Angle's manager. I mean, Daivari's work as a manager, I mean, managing Mark Henry and the great Khali. Yeah, I really, based on what I'm trying to say is I really love and admire and most of all appreciate Daivari's work, Sean Daivari's work. And Daivari, if you happen to be listening to this, thank you. And I mean, I'm thankful to everybody. I mean, I have to thank everybody that's worked with John Cena, so there's a lot of people I gotta thank, but this is basically about John Cena. But but back to John Cena and Kurt Angle, I mean, the promo work was fantastic at this point. John Cena stepped up, and yeah, so it was not only basically JBL that helped John Cena, but Kurt Angle as well. But you know, a lot of wrestlers did. So, and I know that John Cena helped The Miz. I mean, they work together. They all work together. I mean, it's teamwork that makes the dream work. It takes two to tango. So again, it's teamwork that makes the dream work. So John Cena and JBL had a great rivalry. They did it together. John Cena and Kurt Angle, great rivalry. They did it together. John Cena and Edge, they did it together. I mean, every rivalry that John Cena had, including CM Punk, The Rock, all of them, John Cena and his rival, they did it together. Okay? And once again, it's teamwork that makes the dream work. So, and you know, and well, remember, Kurt Angle wanted to end his career against John Cena. So, yeah, I really believe if Kurt Angle's final match was against John Cena, hey, that would have been amazing, but obviously, WWE creative didn't feel that way. So, number 9 against Batista. And I love how they say that John Cena and Batista's career were very similar. Well, they were both in the, they were both in OVW at the same time. I mean, they were both in the graduating class, right? It was John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Batista, Randy Orton. So, if I remember correctly, so, man. So yeah, Batista and John Cena climbed the ranks of WWE. I mean, they had been allies and then they became rivals. So yeah, they were in the same OVW class. They both became world champion at WrestleMania 21. Man. And I think in that storyline, Batista was actually furious and jealous. And this is the storyline, that he was furious and jealous that the company picked Cena as the face. Now again, this is part of the story. I mean, I remember the story as well, so. Yeah, so, and Batista being the heel, I mean, it worked out very, very well. I mean, the promos were amazing, the in-work chemistry, the high-quality powerhouse matches. So John Cena and Batista did a great job. Number 8 at Kevin Owens. I mean, Cena established, and the sports just says, Cena established him on the main roster. Yes, he did, because John Cena put Kevin Owens over in the first match. So Cena made Owens a star to the main roster fans. But one of the biggest complaints, as the Sportster explains, one of the biggest complaints that has followed John Cena is that he never puts over younger talent, but his rivalry against Kevin Owens squashes that myth. So let me say it again. One of the biggest complaints, because I mentioned this, one of the biggest complaints that has followed John Cena is that he never puts over younger talent, but his rivalry against Kevin Owens squashes that myth. Well, I guess to an extent. I mean, not to mention, I mean, you know, remember when the Nexus, how the Nexus was supposed to go over, and I think that was SummerSlam of 2010. The Nexus, I think, was originally supposed to win, but John Cena did, was, John. I think John Cena had a huge role as to why the Nexus did not win. Well, was it SummerSlam of 2010, or was it Survivor Series? But I think it was SummerSlam. But eventually, I mean, things kind of went different. But yeah, I mean, that year, I think team the Nexus obviously should have gone over. Definitely. But the rivalry against Kevin Owens squashes the myth. I mean, Kevin Owens was huge in Ring of Honor and in NXT and on the independent scene. So obviously, WWE believed well in him. So, I mean, this Kevin Owens, I mean, you know what? You know how I talk about the most underrated professional wrestler ever? Well, I mean, Kevin Owens also fits that criteria as well, right? So, man, you know, look at it from here. I mean, I don't even remember what I said earlier, but I know the most underrated professional wrestler ever, man. What in God's name is wrong with me? But yeah, Kevin Owens also fits the criteria as well. So, man. So it did leave, you know, to great promo work. I mean, how Kevin Owens cutting the promo against John Cena when he first, you know, like that. So, man. Oh, man. The Kevin Owens, John Cena feud, well, it was helped to put Kevin Owens over. But after that, Kevin Owens tapping out to Cena. Yeah, wasn't good. John Cena and Shawn Michaels, man. Those matches were great. I mean, WrestleMania 23, but also that match on Raw. Man, I mean, that was one of the best matches in not only Shawn Michaels' career, but also for John Cena as well. So, I mean, Michaels, one of the greatest in-ring workers of all time. I mean, Cena, it really honestly helped Cena even get to a higher level. And then we get to AJ Styles. I mean, this was a feud that nobody expected to happen because, you know, at one point we always thought, in 2006 or 2007, would we ever see John Cena versus AJ Styles? I mean, who knows? I mean, John Cena became a 16-time world champion beating AJ Styles. So, man. But John Cena wrestling, I mean, according to the Sportster, John Cena wrestling against AJ Styles was a dream scenario for many people due to Styles being the face of TNA wrestling. However, because of that fact, most people felt they would never wrestle. Yeah, but the incredible chemistry between John Cena and AJ Styles, well, it speaks for itself. Number 5, against The Rock, I mean, yeah, definitely a dream rivalry, so, man. Of course, we saw John Cena work with The Rock as the heel, and that was recently with The Rock with the whole bloodline. And then Brock Lesnar versus John Cena is considered John Cena's fourth best rival, man. Yeah, a lot of great ones. You know, some of the matches, you know, were physical. And SummerSlam of 2014 when Brock Lesnar just completely dominated. I mean, that was an infamous squash match. Man, he was totally dominated from start to finish. So, man, that was something. Number 3, against Randy Orton. I mean, and the Sportster even mentions that Cena wrestled Randy Orton more than anyone. I mean, we've seen so many matches between John Cena and Randy Orton. They were all one of a kind. They were all unique. Man, that rivalry in 2009, that I Quit match, I mean, that's probably my favorite match between John Cena and Randy Orton. I mean, it's my second favorite John Cena match overall, but I would say my favorite match between John Cena and Randy Orton was the I Quit match in 2009. It was amazing. So, according to the Sportster, and I quote, out of every rival John Cena has ever had, it's Randy Orton, who he shared the ring the most. The two of them competed countless times against each other, both on premium live events and on television, as well as tons of live event matches to the point where the audience did get a little tired of this rivalry. However, this didn't stop people from going wild when their feud rekindled in 2025. Randy Orton and John Cena did have great chemistry. They were the perfect arch nemesis for each other. I mean, audiences were invested into the storylines. The promos were excellent. The matches were excellent. It was incredible. Number two, CM Punk. I mean, of course, CM Punk beating John Cena to walk out of the company as WWE champion. And, you know, it's interesting. John Cena and CM Punk never went out of that WrestleMania. That's probably something I wish we probably would have seen. But, you know, we did see John Cena and CM Punk have a great rivalry. But it is interesting. As great as the rivalry between John Cena and CM Punk is, it is rather interesting that we never saw them go at it at WrestleMania. But it is what it is. And I love how the sportster says, and I quote, CM Punk has always been the total opposite of John Cena, and that's what made them perfect opponents inside the ring, unquote. Amen to that. Amen to that. The fact that CM Punk was always the opposite, the total opposite of John Cena, that's what made them perfect opponents in the ring. Amen to that. Wow. I could not have said it better myself. So major kudos, major credit to the sportster for saying it like that. CM Punk has always been the total opposite of John Cena, and that's what made them perfect opponents inside the ring. Punk would say whatever he felt and didn't walk the company line, while Cena was the ultimate WWE man. Damn. The matches were epic. Well, and Sportster has Edge as number one. I mean, it started when Edge cashed in on John Cena in the very first ever Money in the Bank cash-in. So, man. You know, those at WrestleMania match, the triple threat match with the Big Show, which I think was a decent match. Man. And the Sportster explains, and I quote, out of every rivalry John Cena has had in WWE, his work against Edge stands out the very best. Both men were firing on all cylinders at this stage in their lives. They bought out the best of each other on the microphone and inside the ring, and really pushed the idea that they really hated each other, unquote. 100% accurate. Fans truly did, in fact, invest in this rivalry just like they invested in the rivalry with Randy Orton and John Cena. Audiences felt and understood how they both felt, and the outside-the-box segments they had, such as Edge visiting John Cena's dad and slapping him? Yeah. Major credit to the Sportster and Bleacher Report for providing me some great insight on this. I mean, I'm absolutely grateful. I really am, so. I should probably try to remember some moments in these rivalries. I'll never forget. So you know how Edge slapped John Cena's dad. And SummerSlam of 2006 was in John Cena's hometown. And John Cena unsuccessfully challenged Edge for the title. And had Edge been disqualified or counted out, he would have lost the title. But Edge still cheated and got away with it. I mean, that was great. Especially, this was after the segment where Edge slapped John Cena's dad. And then the following night on Raw, which was in Long Island, New York, Edge cut a promo, and he introduced his version of the WWE title, and that was a great segment. And part of the segment, Lita, who was Edge's on-screen girlfriend and manager, obviously, Lita had a part in that segment where she threw the title into the bay, which was cool. It was really, really cool. Honestly, at the time, I was 13 years old at the time, so obviously I was pretty upset, but I have to credit Edge and Lita for, you know, getting me emotionally invested into the rivalry. So when a heel gets massive heat, then that's how it goes. You know, that's how it goes. So yeah. But right now I feel embarrassed that earlier in this episode I mentioned the most underrated professional wrestler, and now I can't remember who it is. Oh my God. Yeah, that's embarrassing. But you know, I guess it happens. So, but John Cena responded early on. I mean, that night, actually, Jeff Hardy returned to the WWE that night. So, the end of this, right as the segment ended, after Lita threw the title into the Long Island Bay, she threw the title in the water. Basically, Edge basically says how the rivalry between him and John Cena ended with a happy ending for him. Edge goes, with, just like I said, with a happy ending. for me. Edge nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. So before that, basically Edge says, any forthcoming challengers, please step up. But for now, yeah. He says, I'm gonna go get my lady. Edge said that. So he gets interrupted by Jeff Hardy. I mean, dude. Edge, what he said to Jeff Hardy. And Edge cut another massive promo on Jeff Hardy. I don't even know if I should say what Edge said, but Edge did in fact insult Matt Hardy as well. So yeah, but you know, because you know how the rivalry between Edge and all the rivalries that he had with the Hardys. And of course, he mentions Matt Hardy, and of course the whole thing with Edge, Lita, and Matt Hardy. I mean, again, as a heel at the time, Edge. I mean, as a heel from 2004 until 2010, Edge was top notch. Edge is one of the greatest heels of all time. He's great as a babyface, but you know what? I think we can all agree that heel Edge is the one we like better. But we love them both. I want to make sure I say that because it's true. We love babyface Edge. We love heel Edge. But I think we like heel Edge better. But that was it. But some other moments. Well, against Kurt Angle, I mean, there's a lot of them. But you know what? No. You know, and I mentioned Daivari earlier. I'll never forget that segment when John Cena slapped Daivari. Oh, my God. I mean, Daivari took that slap like a champion. Yeah, that was actually in Boston. I think Daivari was doing a segment where he was about to spray paint the statue of Larry Bird, and he gets stopped by John Cena, who slaps him. Yeah, so that was one of my moments from there. Against JBL, there was that debate, and I mentioned how John Cena damaged his limo. Poured water on JBL, sprayed the front and back of his shirt. He took scissors and cut that tie. Oh, forget that, man. All these moments. So the John Cena run is finally coming to an end. Man. And John Cena turning heel earlier this year. After winning the Elimination Chamber. Well, you know, I always say I'm not a fan of short heel turns. I always say that the late Eddie Guerrero's short heel turn in 2005 worked well. I think this one for John Cena worked well as well. But I'm just glad that I was able to follow it to the best of my ability. My work schedule and everything else gets in the way. It makes it extremely difficult for me to be able to watch wrestling on a consistent basis. But you know what? I'm still glad that I'm able to do an episode, even if it's once in a while. But at the same time, I have to apologize to the fans because I know that there are fans out there that truly enjoy my content. And I cannot tell you how grateful I am. I cannot tell you how grateful I am to John Cena and to everybody that he has worked with. From the bottom of my heart, thank you all. And thank you, Cena. Thank you so much for everything. You can't see me. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you would please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way I know for sure that you will not miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank y'all very, very much. Y'all have a good one. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Once again, thank you, Cena. And thank you to everyone that worked with him. I am very, very grateful. I am forever grateful. Thank you all. God bless. Love you all. And once again, happy holidays.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.